Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Market View on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined as usual by JP Ong. And since it is Friday, by a recovered and a rather pink Jeff Howie from the SGX. It has been an intriguing week. I have to say, if you are studying finance and investment right now, this would definitely be something you would want to look at, take notes of, and maybe even use in your thesis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Similar conversation with my intern this morning.
Right?
Yeah.
It's an interesting time to be studying the stuff, not necessarily being in it, is what I'm saying.
This is not for the faint of heart, for sure.
No.
And not for the not for the rookies, I would say. Nevertheless, I do have some... Well, this is probably the best sliver of news you're going to have for markets. Okay, so we are still down by quite a bit. We're down by about 2,614 points, still about 20% off of those 12-month highs that we identified last April.
Is that 5%?
That's about 23% below.
So, right.
Yes, right. So,
well,
so
just
again,
for today then.
Which kind of puts us in bear market territory again. Now, as we mentioned, we have to clarify what bear market and bear market territory means. You have to stay at these levels for about 2 months, give or take, before you can actually say, yep, this is actually a prolonged bear market. So we're still in the region. We're at the airport. We haven't really cleared immigration yet, but we are in this vicinity. We're seeing a couple of bear sightings here and there. Here's the thing, though. As we come back from the lunch break, we actually fell to about 2,544. Since we've come back, we've actually gained by about 67 points or so.
Mm.
And we started out the day down by about 6%. Now we've cut those losses down to about 2.4%. Now I know 2.4% down is still pretty bad when you take a look at the number itself. But given the fact that we did start off the day at 6%, I mean, there is signs of a bit of a rally. Maybe folks also coming back in and saying, okay, let's see if we can find some of these bargains at the moment. Because, you know, in this particular area, perhaps people are starting to come back and starting to look for some of these deals that they're picking up. Yeah.
Yeah, we saw that earlier in the week. When obviously, the oil price shock got us off to a very negative ground on Monday morning. And for those next two sessions, which I guess similar to like you just said, you had the downward move on the Monday and some little bit of a partial recovery on Tuesday. We did see three types of traders, if you will. We saw and I'm just looking from the pure institutional perspective, the institutional investors.
Sure.
You had you still had net institutional inflow over those two sessions for a number of stocks which had been amongst our best performers over the last 3 years or so. So we saw, I guess you're seeing averaging down in some of those big REIT names as well as the manufacturers that we have here in Singapore that generally are net cash flow positive and had performed well.
Actually, this might be a good time to explain to our listeners what averaging down means or cost averaging down is, Jeff. You want to take a stab at it?
Yeah, sure. So it's when you're averaging down, you're basically buying more units or more stocks as the market declines, as the market continues to decline. So you have a position. You have a thesis. You understand the business. It's all appropriate. And then when the market falls, you have to kind of participate in and keep buying and adding to the position as long as you still believe in the underlying fundamentals. If you're that there's a lot of noise in the market per se, you really have to be attuned to, I guess, what the moves are and that the mode of the market has changed.
Right. And it goes back to the fact that you have to believe in your thesis or the business that you're investing in, because there a lot of things can take that stock price down. But if you believe in it, this actually creates an opportunity for you to go in and get more bang for your buck, actually, been buying more of this at that lower cost and accumulating position. But it all comes down to whether or not you do your research, you believe in your research, and look at this company and say, you know what, at some point, this is going to come out of this. When the smoke clears, this is still going to be standing with just a couple of bruises on the face, and they're not going to get knocked out.
But the question is, where is that point? And that's the thing. If you are averaging down, you always want to keep some funds for that rainy day per se.
And how quickly should you average down as well, I guess, is another thing. Do you go back in willy-nilly with everything once you see it fall, or do you go back in piecemeal? I mean, this is also part of how
that
you think about
the
strategy.
That depends on how much money you have.
It does. And it also depends on what else you're doing, because the averaging down is just one part of the trading we've seen. Rebalancing, which is basically also moving into some of the stocks that have underperformed significantly in recent times.
Sure.
And we saw basically a little bit of kind of, if you're looking just at those pure institutional flows, a little bit of stock revisions. And if you take into consideration those stocks that outperformed in terms of earnings in the fourth quarter of last year, we did see some flows into there as well, into some of those names. But as I said, the most important thing is the wind's changed, you change your sales, and now we have to look at and see, okay, the volatility is up considerably. I think 30-day historical annualized volatility on the STI is 30% now. It's still off those highs that back in November 08, which was up around 60%. But nonetheless, if you look back over the last 20 years or so, we've had more than a handful of these occasions where you have a pretty big sell-off and followed by recovery when it does kick in. So we need to be cognizant of how big those sell-offs can be. If you look at six of them, the peak to the trough decline on the STI on average has been a 37% decline, not including the 37% decline, including the GFC. If you take out the GFC, but the 08 moves, your historical average is a 32% decline on the STI from the peak through to the trough. And this is looking at those big events, those dot-com bubbles, the GFC, the European debt crisis, the China market correction we saw in April 2015 through to January 16, and including the trade tensions back in May to April, back in May 18 to April 19, when the STI actually also declined 18% before recovering some 15%.
Right. And I do want to go back to the last time we visited bear territory, which was in 2016. Now, we saw it actually fall around the start of that, around the towards the start of 2016, where it fell 20% from those peaks. But again, this is why it's important to distinguish bear territory versus an actual bear market. Within about within less than 2 months, we actually saw the STI pick itself back up and reverse course. Now, it didn't really recoup all those losses for another 2-3 months. Nevertheless, it was able to exit bear territory and go back into what was a correction during that time. So again, anything can happen in these 2 months. There could be a sudden change in sentiment for markets to exit this also. So I think I would caution most people to call a bear market with a lot of caution. Think very hard about it before you actually make that, because we're still in the early days of this at the moment. And as we mentioned, we haven't even cleared immigration yet. There could be a chance we get out of there, right?
Okay, this week we had two important speeches that might have guided markets, or at least affected them in some way, shape or form. President Trump and his address to his nation, and yesterday Prime Minister Lee's address here in Singapore. How much of what Mr. Lee said yesterday in his address do you think is going to work towards calming sentiments in the days to come?
That's something that's going to be very hard to distinguish, because in some sense, it was a sobering set of remarks also. And I appreciate the fact that the prime minister of this country didn't mince any words. And he actually said, look, we're not declaring code red anytime soon, but this could be with us for quite some time. So stay on your toes, keep your wits about you. And there's something nice about someone who can actually tell you things and tell you things in a very straight-laced form. And that way you can sort of cut through all the chaff and just say, okay, you know what? Let's get on with business. Let's figure out what we're supposed to do. I honestly think, well, for me at least, some of the strategists have told me actually right now that the tail that will wag this dog really is what happens in the U.S. And when Wall Street caroons or falls that much, I mean, it's going to determine market sentiment for the most part, because I think a lot of folks in the U.S. are in the West are starting to wake up to the reality that there are a lot of lockdowns and a lot of curtailed business activity. We've actually had about 2 months to digest that particular reality, whereas I think they're just starting to wake up to that reality. And this is why you're seeing a lot of, I really don't want to use the word panic, but I guess panic is volatility. Volatility is there, yeah.
But their initiatives, there is a common link here, President Trump and Prime Minister Lee. We're pursuing structural initiatives to deal with this, containment, protocols, and so forth. Fiscal stimulus would be helpful and we'll both be talking about it. Exactly, as is monetary policy loosening and so forth.
Sure.
But the most important, the third arrow per se of any economic initiative, it has to be structural. And mm-hmm. and structural is often the most painful. It does mean that you have to change the way you do things. You have to move to a different part in the curve. But that is the most important thing we do, that we all act vigilantly and work to contain and, as Prime Minister Lee said, support the economy as much as we can. Every single one of us has a role to play. Can't forget that. But it's the same across the world as well. We all got to just basically keep calm, carry on, incorporate the structural change, be careful, and keep moving forward. And as JP was saying, with the markets, and if you wanted to look back at that that April 2015 through to January 16, yes. as you were saying, the STI went from peak to trough, it was a 29% decline.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then if you look at the trough to the recovery peak, that was a gain of 43%.
And it took just about 4 months, but also just less than 2 months to get out of that bear territory, which I think is important as well.
And so, which means all of us have to embrace the structural changes with the containment and move forward once the green mm-hmm. lights are given.
I actually spoke to a friend of mine. We both started out in the banks. He stayed in the banks. I got out and came into media. And his thing was, if you are an experienced trader, if you have experienced investors, they know now's the time to start looking mm-hmm. for those great deals. They're going to make some money in the next few months. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's looking at finding those for
his customers.
It's
interesting you say that. The one former fund manager I used to interview a lot back in Manila mm-hmm. when I was there, reminded me of this adage where he said, you know, the bulls will make money, the bears will make money, and pigs are going to get.
I hate that. That's so cool.
I know. This is like one of those big, these very corny adages in some sense, right?
I think a little bit more sensical, you might say. As if you are a sophisticated investor, it means you probably could risk losing 10% of the capital that you're going to use
right.
for the trade in the next 24 hours with the view that, you know, you might make 5% as well. It's just
sure.
you have to be comfortable with volatility, and that's the most important thing for the investors. They have to, their own risk profile has to be in tune with the volatility. And as we said, if you've already got passive investments, mm-hmm. This is these times when you have the sell-offs, the bigger sell-offs, you do see people start to commence their whole averaging down process.
And there are those investors here in Singapore. We're seeing it now
yeah.
if you actually drill down and look at
basically
the markets.
Basically, the volatile times are times when you can actually look for opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, Berkshire Hathaway has actually started looking at some of these things as well.
I was thinking of him, yes.
Warren Buffett, right? I think now, though, is the time to talk about strategy and how to actually get into the market. So look, if you are, this is something I could open up to the floor. If you are a retail investor and you've got a little bit of cash, not a ton, you're not institutional, but let's say you've got like $10,000 there mm-hmm. or $5,000 and saying, look, I'd like to get back into the markets, but I don't want to do it. How would you manage your ammunition to get back into the markets if that's what you want? Do you stay out? Do you go back in? I mean, this is something I'd like to actually ask Jeff. What kind of advice would you give folks who might say, look, I only have 5 bullets at the moment. How fast or how slow should I get back in?
I guess,
how should I deploy things?
I guess those advisors that are licensed to do so would be looking at the clients and looking what their individual objectives are. And
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, but if you look at where interest rates are, okay, this week we've seen a little bit of stabilization at the end of this week with
right.
the US 10-year yields. You've noticed that they've actually hung mm-hmm. the last two nights.
It's about 0.8 at the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're off from their lows, but they didn't actually move last night with the overall market. And if you look at that 0.8% and you think they're going to be there for a little while, you look at what the alternatives are. And with the REITs coming off as well as we've seen this week, you look at our iEdge S-REIT index, it now has an indicative yield through to the end of 2020 at these current levels of around 5.8%. That's as much as 500 basis points above the current 10-year
right.
rate.
Okay, mm-hmm. I have a question. Since JP has the markets in front of him, yesterday we were looking at a surprise uptick for Kongguan, and I was hungry and talking about Bickies. How are the Bicky companies doing?
Well, let's just take a look at Kongguan, which actually reported a first half net loss, actually, or a wider first half net loss. Let's see Kongguan at the moment. They're trading flat at the moment. Okay. Not a lot of value turnover. Actually, they're just pretty much, they're flat at about $1.84.
So yesterday was their day to feel some love.
For the day to feel some love, they're one of the few loved ones, actually. And but we were grasping at straws as to why certain stocks were doing well, apart from some of the medical equipment manufacturers like MedTechs and UG Healthcare. They were gaining some ground. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I do have just a little bit of, not great, but hopeful news. So remember when we talked about the Straits Times Index opening today at 6% below? Guess what? The losses are now just down to 0.9%. This is a very strong afternoon recovery. Maybe traders just needed to eat some lunch and figure things out and have a couple of cookies, really. But we've actually cut those losses now significantly. We started out today down by about almost 100 points, and now these intraday losses have been cut to about 24. So we're still in the red, and we're still seeing a notable loss, but it's not a dire loss like what we saw just about 30 minutes ago, really.
Right.
And remember, there has been a significant impact on the U.S. because you look at the structure of the U.S. economy. We know we've been talking week after week about the weakness in the manufacturing and trade-related sectors. It's been led by its consumer economy.
Right.
And hence, COVID-19 does represent a bit of a risk to the consumer economy, the consumer businesses. Most of its trade is services-led. And hence, when you're cutting down the number of people coming through, I mean, they have 80 million people typically in a year leave the U.S. borders, 90 million people come in. And then with the moves with Europe and so forth, that has a pretty big impact on the U.S. economy. So that's there's been a number of measured moves. You saw Boeing as well. Boeing's led a lot of the declines of the Dow Jones Index. Boeing stock is down 50% in the year to date so far.
Wow. So this is only in the last 2.5 months.
Yeah, only in the last 2.5 months. So it ended 2018. It made up as much as 8% of the Dow Jones weighting. Now it's down to 5% its weighting. But also, too, as we say, a lot of moves are measured. If you compare that 50% decline in the year to date for Boeing, you look at the 5 years ending 2019, the stock had accumulated 185% total returns.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so at that point, if you're not a sophisticated investor, maybe a little bit more watching before you put your toe in. But if you are an experienced sophisticated investor, now's the time to start looking.
It's definitely time. Hey, look, I mean, look, taking a look at things that never really
never
cost
hurt
you.
Anyone.
Never
hurt. Yeah.
I mean, you're just looking at the moment. And
window shopping.
Your window. I would say that yes. This early, while you're waiting for some of the downturn while some of the volatility subside, is a good time to just reassess and figure out, okay, where am I going to point my gun when things calm down?
No,
where am I
going to look at these things? This is more like going to the used car lot and looking at all the deal stickers.
Mm-hmm. No, some of the best parts of our entire stock market, of course, are our brokers and Remisier. So they're all there on the phone, ready. Give them a call. They're all pretty sharp, watching everything.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, the rest of the day, how much is value turnover now?
We're looking at about $1.9 billion at this point.
That is a lot.
That's a lot of turnover. And it's also a lot of traders considering, do we keep selling off our positions, or do we start going back in and looking for some of these bargains? I think this is the conversation that's being had at the moment with some of these brokers that Jeff mentioned also. How do we play this out? Is this a time to come back in, or is this time to keep selling off? But regardless, there's a lot of activity actually in the market so far today, and also just a bit of soul searching, I think.
So I think that the interesting question will be, will we see $3 billion at the close today?
Oh, that's a very good question, actually, to ask. I don't have a crystal ball. I think it's a fair question. I think it's a fair target, actually, given how solid a lot of this activity has been so far. And it doesn't seem to be letting up at the moment. I mean, again, when you're seeing a swing from 6% down and you're cutting that down to about 1% losses, I mean, and recovering also, I mean, that takes a lot of trading activity, a lot of value turnover to create that kind of movement. Yes, 3,000, I mean, I'm not going to say it will, but you know, I think it's a fair target, actually. It's
okay,
a fair...
go $3 billion. This has been Market View Wrap on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero, joined as usual by JP Ong, and always on Fridays, unless he has better things to do, Jeff Howie from the SGX.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.